Okay. All right, let's keep rolling right along here now, because it seems to me I have got the booze out here and so forth. That just about calls for Ace Atkins, ladies and gentlemen. Would you welcome, please, Ace Atkins? You know him. Sometimes he's Spencer, and sometimes he's not. Did you want anything here?
Yeah, this looks like open bar night here tonight.
I know,
tonight.
It is, really. Have any of that.
Yeah. Are cigarettes here? We can just light up and have a nice night.
You might as well. That he just poured. I don't think he had any of that. Here's to you.
Here, cheers.
Ace Atkins.
Absolutely.
Cheers. And hell and high water.
If only I drank. I'm kidding.
Oh,
I'm just
okay.
Joking. Wow. Nice. Nice and smooth.
Isn't it?
It's
really nice. What do you want to talk about, man?
I don't know. Let's talk about whiskey and music.
Yeah. And, it's true that you were a locker boy at Lambeau Field at one point?
It is true. Yeah. Actually, my father was a friend of Bart Starr's, and he worked for the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. And when they would come into Atlanta where we lived, I would actually have to clean up and pick up towels and jock straps.
So
and
did you save any? For
yes, I have several jock straps that I've kept.
Really?
And I never have washed them.
Do you have Zeke Bradkowski's?
Let me see. I'll check it.
Fuzzy Thurston's jock strap. That'd be worth some money now.
I'll check into it. Some eBay. Very strange fetish on eBay, I think, probably.
Well,
millions
Packers,
of dollars.
Packers fans would just snap it up.
So, he worked for the Packers for a few years. So
yeah, that's cool.
Got to meet Bart Starr
and he was
all
a
that
scout.
Lineage. And he was a scout. And before that, he was a football player and had coached for a while in the NFL. And so, naturally, what I do, I become a writer just to disappoint the whole family.
Come on, there was that Auburn stint.
There was Auburn. It's okay to say Auburn here at Ole Miss. Yeah. As long as we don't talk about Alabama, it's okay.
It's in the past. It's in the past. So, you know. You're the Tigers there.
Right. Yeah, I did that for a while. And
and that was their unbeaten season. I know you were there for that.
Yes, I was. It was 1993. We were undefeated, and we were on probation. No. So we could not go any further.
Yeah.
We were, as they say, the best team on radio. No television at all.
No. Yeah. What was that probation about?
It was all just made up. It
okay.
was just a misunderstanding.
You weren't involved.
I was not involved.
What did
I did
you
not
play?
Get,
what did you play?
I did not get any money.
You're running back?
I was a defensive end.
Defensive end?
Yeah. It's a little bulkier than I am now, but I was a defensive end back in the day.
Now, and I said I was going to ask you, I saw you the other day, and I said I'm going to ask about this, because you say something about the coaches kept trying to drive you off the team. That's an unusual statement.
They were. I had gone and then come back, and I was on scholarship, and it was. There was a part of time where I think they would have been happy to take my scholarship and give it to somebody else. And
well,
so
what were you doing?
It's kind of like Cool Hand Luke. Yeah.
Right.
Failure to communicate. But it was...
You
got to
shake the bush.
It turned out great. Glad I stayed for the last year. Had a good time. But there was a communication problem.
What was it? Something you were doing, right?
I think, wanting to be a writer and, I think when I would be sitting in team meetings having novels with me and sitting there reading, it just blew their mind. I think that, they would think that you could not be possibly serious about football if you're sitting there and reading, Hemingway or Raymond Chandler in the locker room. But that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a writer.
Wouldn't a series of concussions help a writer as opposed to...
It would, It helped Hemingway. He had a series of concussions.
Oh,
so,
I'm
occasionally blank out when I'm working, but it turns out okay.
Was that really it, that you were sitting there reading books and that's when...
I don't know. I mean, I probably being a smart aleck a little bit probably didn't help, I think there was just probably the culture of, being completely into football and being a part of it and being, I really enjoyed doing other stuff. And I think that I wasn't totally meshed with the football culture.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing. I'm glad I did it, but certainly was probably... much happier moving on and becoming a newspaper reporter at that time. And
did your dad ever scout you?
No.
I know, exactly.
It would have worked out, but no, I think the NFL was happy that I actually got a job at the Tampa Tribune and became a newspaper reporter. Yeah. So
were you pretty good as far as football, or what you did?
As they say, as the years go on, you get better and better. So I was outstanding. I was incredible. I'll show you the highlight reel. It's amazing.
Yeah, and then
in my mind, I keep on getting better and better and better. Yeah.
You became a crime reporter. So
I did.
That's sort of the basis
for
all your later writing.
So it goes from being on probation as a football team, moving into crime writing, and make your own decisions about that.
It was pretty much a parallel track,
exactly. But I knew that's what I wanted to do. I loved the novels of Raymond Chandler and Dashiell Hammett and Robert B. Parker and. I mean, I was an odd kid. I was 16, 17 years old going into college, and I wanted to be a crime novelist. That's what I wanted to do. And so the natural track for me was to work as a reporter and cover crime and cover the newspaper beat and meet those people and the cops and the prosecutors and all that, and that's what I did.
Yeah, and it, was that the basis for the things you wrote then? Did you
absolutely.
Cop some of those stories?
Absolutely, yeah. There was a novel that I did in 2006 that was based on my experiences of knowing people that had been connected to the 1950s, and a lot of the reporters and the cops and the criminals and these people that I knew in Tampa, and became a novel that I wrote called White Shadow. And it was about a guy who was a newspaper reporter but also connected in with the mafia and involvement in Cuba. And so I draw on that experience all the time.
Yeah. None of that, of course, really applies to you as an individual.
These sorts the criminal aspect?
These or criminal aspects?
Yeah, well, occasionally.
Did you have mob connection? Where were you writing? You were a crime reporter in?
I was in Tampa.
In Tampa.
And I worked for both the St. Pete Times and for the Tampa Tribune.
Yeah. And there is a kind of a Florida mafia down there, right?
We don't talk about that.
Let's
move on, please. Okay. Yeah. Well, I have no idea what you're talking about. Let's move on.
I have no idea either. But I was watching, the Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
And he's talking about early Tampa now.
Yeah.
He was down there trying to make some arrangements with the guys down there.
Well, that's actually what my book is about. Yeah. Is about a guy named Charlie Wall. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Wall was the bootlegger. He was the guy that was pretty much running all of the booze and everything that was coming in from Cuba. And in the 1950s, he was assassinated.
Oh.
And so that's what the story was about. So that connection with the rum and the booze that was moving in through Tampa was actually very real and very true.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Do you like that show? You watch that show now?
You know, I've seen part of it, but I've heard it's getting better. I enjoy the first couple of episodes, but not that much. But I've heard it's getting really outstanding, the new season.
Interesting. I got the new Ace Atkins here. Read it all.
Excellent.
I was halfway through and I saw you and I said, "Can you tell me the ending?"
He
said, "It all ends well" or something.
Did it turn out like that? Everybody's happy at the end of my book,
I read the whole thing, The Broken Places, and. And it's, of course, this is your hero, Quinn Coulson, and he's a ranger back from Iraq and Afghanistan who becomes a sheriff. And you and Faulkner both invented counties.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought I came up with a really original idea. I said, I'm going to make up a county in Mississippi, and, you know, it's going to be all these fictional characters, these families that are interrelated. And then, you know, strangely, the first book came out when the first book came, The Ranger, and said, you know, there's this guy Faulkner who apparently lived here at some time, and they said that he had done the same thing. So I was kind of disappointed about that.
He stole your thunder.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Your town is Jericho, and what is your county?
Tibahaw County.
Tibahaw County. Yeah. But it's near
Choctaw name. It's really based on places that are in and around Lafayette County. And people talk about, some of my books having elements of Lafayette County, but really there's some characters and some places that are around here. Like there's a Calhoun County that's near here, and Yallabusha County, and so I kind of take the best and the worst from those surrounding counties and steal from it. And I mean, a lot of the storylines in my books, I don't have to look a lot further than just the daily newspaper, and I see what's going on in the court cases, and I see people that are being arrested, and I'm luckily very friendly with law enforcement here that tells me the stories that they're dealing with every day. So it's pretty easy pickings. It's good stuff, good Southern crime.
Compare and contrast Quinn Coulson and Spencer.
Wow, that's a good one. Spencer, for those of you who might know, Private Eye in Boston.
Yeah, pretty different character.
Much different character. Yeah. Comedic character, very funny, laid back. Nothing seems to, rattle Spencer. Older. He's in his 50s, Boston, very northern character. And then, Quinn is a very southern character, former military, very straight ahead, much more of a Gary Cooper type, very, laconic and, very, has a very spare with his wording. And so I like both of them, but it's a fun thing for me to have those different worlds to juxtapose. I mean, to write about the North and write about gritty Boston, and at the same time to write about the Deep South and write about Mississippi in my backyard, it kind of keeps both of those series fresh for me.
Did you have to study the Boston scene?
I knew Boston pretty well, but certainly when I got the job of working for the Parker Estate, to get to know it better. And I spent a lot of time in Boston. Every few months I'm up there, and of course for fans of the Robert B. Parker books and for Spencer, you know what research really boils down to, which is drinking and eating and going to nice restaurants and walking around. That's the world of Spencer. So that's the heavy research and really what I'd say the price that I'm willing to pay for my readers. So I'm glad to do it.
You had to convince the family, or that you could write that style, or
I had been, and I'd been a Parker fan forever. I mean, Robert Parker to me was really the high bar of, professionals as far as writing, as far as crime novelist. Elmore Leonard, Robert Parker, John D. McDonald, these are guys that I really admired and idolized. And we were on the same publishing house. And when Parker passed away, somebody asked me, would I be interested, this is through my agent, submitting some chapters, and would I possibly think about continuing the series that the family wanted somebody to do this? And I said, absolutely, I'd be glad to. And the editor got in touch with me and said, would you like to have Mr. Parker's backlist so you can get familiar with these characters? I said, are you kidding me? I said, I got all these books wrapped in Mylar going back in from the first editions from 1974, so no, I'm okay. I'm good with this. And wrote the first 50 pages, and family was very happy. The estate was very happy, and gave me the gig. So I'm working on the third novel right now.
Is it all difficult or a little bit weird maybe to go from being a fan to being the guy?
You just try not to think about it. You know, you try not to think about it. But there are people who will nail you on this stuff. You know, there are people
about
who will
errors
say,
and
yeah, like, you know, how dare you have Spencer drinking, a Heineken? He would never drink a Heineken. He would only drink, you know, Blue Moon Ale or Sam Adams. And for you to do that, you know, is a mark on the entire series. But no, for the most part, the fans have been great, very supportive. Happy the series is continuing, and for me, I'm pleased the series is continuing because I'm a fan, and I love this stuff.
How would you feel if someday someone took over Quinn Coulson?
As long as my family's being paid, I'm fine. The family's being paid, it's fine.
And is he based on anyone? I suppose he was.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason I wanted to do, I never wanted to do another series book and do a continuing character, and I thought about it when it came to me, really impressed upon me as, would you do this and how would you do it? And the main criteria for me was to do a character, to write a character who is wholly different from me. I did not want to write an alter ego character. I'm really probably much closer in personality to Spencer than I am Quinn Coulson. So Quinn is really made up of several people that I've known that have been coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan. And you meet these guys every day in the airport, and you'll meet these guys that are, you know, coming home, and they're in their early or late 20s, and they're trying to make their way in the world after being in the military for 10 years. So there's a lot of people who are the Quinn Coulsons, but I'm not one of them. This is not an alter ego character. This has nothing to do with me, and that's the fun for me about being a writer, is being writing about a world that's, you know, really separate from my own. Yeah,
and
I never killed anybody. So.
And they're trained in all these skills that don't have direct application for most people.
That's true.
To civilian life, but
true.
They do for Quinn Coulson. So they
exactly. Yeah, there's a high body count. So
yeah.
So in these books, and so that's what you really you need somebody who's, you know, it's
was
really
a
throwback to
a
Western.
Was he a sniper?
He was a U.S. Army Ranger, I grew up near Auburn, Alabama, which is very close to Fort Benning, which has the storied past with the U.S. Army Rangers, and I really always admired these guys. And there's so many wonderful stories of these guys going back to the Revolutionary War and through World War II, and so just the idea of the U.S. Army Rangers. And a buddy of mine who is a colonel in the Army, when I first started writing the series, I said, I want to talk to a guy who has been there and done that, been a part of it, and done this recently. I knew some, you know, people that had been connected, you know, Vietnam era, that kind of thing, but actually just left the battlefield. And he introduced me to this young Ranger lieutenant who was just wholly invaluable for me getting to really understand this character and getting to get a sense of it. And it's really, for me, going to it as a journalist and getting to understand that character and the experiences he has had and bringing those to the reader. And, you know, I admire these guys so much for what they've done. And for me, writing about a modern hero, I had to really look no further.
Yeah, it's a great book. You know, I don't usually read crime novels. I'm not the type.
You're more of a romance kind of guy.
Yeah, I like the romance.
I saw you with a Harlequin backstage.
I'm a Harlequin kind of guy. My dad was a big crime novel reader. But this is great. It's a great book. I really enjoyed it. The Broken Places. It's the latest from Ace Atkins. And thank you, Ace.
Thank you very much.
Ace Atkins, ladies and gentlemen. The Broken. Yeah, take that with you. Otherwise, it'll just sit there and evaporate.